And the ice times came, and the ice times went. And the people spread out across the land and formed new tribes, and chose new totems for themselves, ravens and foxes and ground sloths and great cats and buffalo, each a taboo beast that marked a tribe's identity, each beast a god. The mammoths of the new lands were bigger and slower and more foolish than the mammoths of the Siberian plains. And the pung mushrooms with their seven spots were not to be found in the new lands. And Nanyanini did not speak to the tribe any longer. And in the days of the grandchildren of Delani and Kalanu's grandchildren, a band of warriors, members of a big and prosperous tribe returning from a slaving expedition in the north to their home in the south, found the Valley of the First People. They killed most of the men, and they took the women and many of the children captive. One of the children, hoping for clemency, took them to a cave in the hills, in which they found a mammoth skull, the tattered remnants of a mammoth skin cloak, a wooden cup, and the preserved head of Atsula, the oracle. While some of the warriors of the new tribe were for taking the sacred objects away with them, stealing the gods of the first people and owning their power, others counseled against it, saying that they would bring nothing but ill luck and the malice of their own god, for these were the people of a raven tribe, and ravens are jealous gods. So they threw the objects down the side of the hill into a deep ravine, and took the survivors of the first people with them on their long journey south. And the raven tribes and the fox tribes grew more powerful in the land, and soon Nanyanini was entirely forgot.
Part 3. The Moment of the Storm. Chapter 14. People are in the dark. They don't know what to do. I had a little lantern, oh, but it got blown out too. I'm reaching out my hand. I hope you are too. I just want to be in the dark with you. Greg Brown. In the dark with you. They changed cars at 5 a.m. in Minneapolis in the airport's long-term parking lot. They drove to the top floor where the parking building was open to the sky. Shadow took the orange uniform and the handcuffs and leg hobbles, put them in the brown paper bag that had briefly held his possessions, folded the whole thing up and dropped it into a parking lot garbage can. They had been waiting for 10 minutes when a barrel-chested young man came out of an airport door and walked over to them. He was eating a packet of Burger King French fries. Shadow recognized him immediately. He had sat in the back of the car when they had left the house on the rock and hummed so deeply the car had vibrated. He now sported a white-streaked winter beard he had not had when they had met at the house on the rock. It made him look older. The man wiped the grease from his hands onto his sweater, extended one huge hand to Shadow.
I heard of the Allfather's death. They will pay, and they will pay dearly.
Wednesday was your father?
He was the Allfather. You tell them.
His deep voice caught in his throat.
Tell them all. That when we are needed, my people will be there.
Chernabog picked at a flake of tobacco between his teeth and spat it out onto the frozen slush.
Then how many of you is dead? 10? 20?
The barrel-chested man's beard bristled.
And aren't 10 of us worth 100 of them? Who would stand against even one of my folk in a battle? But there are more of us than that at the edges of the cities. There are a few in the mountains, some in the Catskills, a few living in the Kearney towns in Florida. They keep their axes sharp. They will come if I call them.
You do that, Elvis,
said Mr. Nancy. Shadow thought he said Elvis anyway, but he couldn't be sure. Nancy had exchanged the deputy's uniform for a thick brown cardigan, corduroy trousers, and brown loafers.
You call him. That's what the old bastard would have wanted.
They betrayed him. They killed him. I laughed at Wednesday, but I was wrong. None of us are safe any longer,
said the man who might have been named Elvis.
But you can rely on us.
He gently patted Shadow on the back and almost sent him sprawling. It was like being gently patted on the back by a wrecking ball. Chernobog had been looking around the parking lot.
You will pardon me asking, but our new vehicle is which?
The barrel-chested man pointed.
There she is.
Chernobog snorted.
Debt?
It was a 1970 VW bus. There was a rainbow decal in the rear window.
It's a fine vehicle, and it's the last thing that they'll be expecting you to be driving. The last thing they'll be looking for.
Chernobog walked around the vehicle. Then he started to cough, a lung-rumbling, old-man, five-in-the-morning smoker's cough. He hawked and spat, and put his hand to his chest, massaging away the pain.
Yes, the last car they will suspect. So what happens when the police pull us over, looking for the hippies and the dope, eh? We're not here to ride the magic bus. We're to blend in.
The bearded man unlocked the door of the bus.
So they take a look at you. They see you aren't hippies. They wave you goodbye. It's the perfect disguise. And it's all I could find at no notice.
Chernobog seemed to be ready to argue it further, but Mr. Nancy intervened smoothly.
Elvis, you come through for us. We are very grateful. Now, that car needs to get back to Chicago.
We'll leave it in Bloomington. The wolves will take care of it. Don't give it another thought.
He turned back to Shadow.
Again, you have my sympathy, and I share your pain. Good luck. And if the vigil falls to you, my admiration and my sympathy.
He squeezed Shadow's hand in sympathy and in friendship with his own catcher's mitt fist. It hurt.
You tell his corpse when you see it. Tell him that Alvis, son of Vindolf, will keep the faith.
The VW bus smelled of patchouli, of old incense and rolling tobacco. There was a faded pink carpet glued to the floor and to the walls.
Who was that?
Asked Shadow as he drove them down the ramp, grinding the gears.
Just like he said, Alvis, son of Vindolf. He's the king of the dwarfs. The biggest, mightiest, greatest of all the dwarf folk.
But he's not a dwarf. He's what, 5'8", 5'9"?
Which makes him a giant among dwarfs. Tallest dwarf in America.
What was that about the vigil?
Asked Shadow. The two old men said nothing. Shadow glanced to his right. Mr. Nancy was staring out of the window.
Well, he was talking about a vigil. You heard him.
Chernobog spoke up from the back seat.
You will not have to do it.
Do what?
The vigil. He talks too much. All the dwarfs talk and talk and talk and sing all the time. Sing, sing, sing is nothing to think of. Better you put it out of your mind.
They drove south, keeping off the freeways.
We must assume,
said Mr. Nancy,
that they are in enemy hands, or that they are perhaps enemy hands in their own right.
Driving south was like driving forward in time. The snows erased slowly and were completely gone by the following morning when the bus reached Kentucky. Winter was already over in Kentucky, and spring was on its way. Shadow began to wonder if there was some kind of equation to explain it. Perhaps every 50 miles he drove south, he was driving a day into the future. He would have mentioned his idea to his passengers, but Mr. Nancy was asleep in the passenger seat in the front, while Chernobog snored unceasingly in the back. Time seemed a flexible construct at that moment, an illusion he was imagining as he drove. He found himself becoming painfully aware of birds and animals. He saw the crows on the side of the road or in the bus's path picking at roadkill. Flights of birds wheeled across the skies in patterns that almost made sense. Cats stared at them from front lawns and fence posts. Chernobog snorted and woke, sitting up slowly.
I dreamed a strange dream. I dreamed that I am truly Beelzebub. That forever the world imagines that there are two of us, the light god and the dark. But that now we are both old. I find it was only me all the time, giving them gifts, taking my gifts away.
He broke the filter from a lucky strike, put it between his lips, and lit it with his lighter. Shadow wound down his window.
Aren't you worried about lung cancer?
I am Kelsar. I do not frighten myself.